Hi there, folks. Paul here, signing back in, continuing on our Bible study series on the book of James. Thank you so much for taking the time to join with me. We're going to continue on picking up where we left off last time. We're in chapter 5. Oh, we're getting down to the meat of it. And I know that this section has taken a couple of videos to get through, but I hope you will also feel as I do that it's been worth the time, worth looking into these things, worth studying them. And we left off at verse 16. I think I'm going to read, look at 15, which connects, of course, to 16 through to the end of 18. And we'll see if we can wrap this section up now in this particular video. So we say, thank you, Lord, very much for this time. Lord, I pray your blessing on the words spoken. And Lord, just bring these into our hearts. That's what I pray. Help us to understand. Help us to apply. So verse 15, the prayer of faith, we covered this last time, will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Here we have 16, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. From verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Interesting. I don't know if we'll have time to get into it, the 3.5 years before the fruit came. But moving on from verse 16, we've talked about confession of sin, confessing our trespasses, how it can help us, the benefits that can come from it, having someone walk alongside of us, having someone praying for us, putting down any need for pride when we admit our faults to others as well. And I've seen this as a problem so often in leadership. And I really do struggle with those who say, oh, but I don't sin. Look, hey, praise God for you. But of course, Scripture tells us if any man says he does not sin, he is deceiving himself. We thank God that because of Christ, though, every and any sin, everything and any sin can be forgiven when we bring it to the cross of Christ. We are washed by the blood. The price has already been paid. Already. And so we come now to that second part of verse 16. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I have a note here in my notes. Do you remember the Israelites in the wilderness? Numbers 11 tells us that they were complaining. Really? Again? Yeah. Again and again and again and again. They were complaining. Verse 1 and 2, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. For the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. And so the fire of the Lord, So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. And the people cried out to Moses. And when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. That's a pretty heavy piece of scripture. That's a piece of scripture that we in the New Testament modern Western world don't like to talk about. I've often said the Old Testament reveals to us the nature of God. Think about that. The New Testament reveals and shows us, praise God, for the love of God. But Jesus, of course, being God in the form of man, how he humbled himself, came into this world, being God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then the Word became flesh. That's all I need to quickly explain, Jesus also being God. Scripture tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the Old Testament, we see God speaking, I am the Lord God. I do not change. What does this mean then? The fire of the Lord burned them, consumed them. This is the nature of God against those whose heart is not for him. But then Moses prayed to the Lord and the fire was quenched. Here's the key. Here's the take-home, actually, from this verse. That was just a side note. The take-home is this. Prayer is powerful. And yes, you can be praying for the unbeliever, he who is not following the Lord. You can be praying for the family member who professes Christianity but doesn't walk it, who does not abide in Christ, who does not live it in any way. Prayer is powerful. Say it again and say it with me. Prayer is powerful. I need you to understand this. This is crucial. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What are you saying, Paul? Well, let's clarify. The righteous man. Let's just hammer this home so that you understand. This was written to Jewish Christians, Hebrews, who had a cultural context of understanding what was a righteous man, because they had thousands of years of history of the law showing them their unrighteousness. It's not what you do. That's Old Testament law. What you believe. That's Old Testament, New Testament grace. That's our faith in Christ and Christ alone. Our righteousness is in and from and through because of Christ. Romans 1:1. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh. What did he gain in his own efforts is what we're saying here. For if Abraham, verse 2 of Romans 1, was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Verse 3, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Believed God. Believed the promises of Isaac, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Verse 4, now to him who works, this is someone trying to earn their righteousness through their deeds and their actions. For him who works for this, the wages are not accounted as grace. As if that grace was based on works, then it would be a payment. All right? If grace were based on works, it would be a payment, not a free gift, which of course is what grace is. But it then would be as a debt, a person working for something, as if they are owed some kind of reward. This is the problem with those who believe that that salvation, that grace, that righteousness comes because of our works. Meaning it would not be based on grace, a free gift, but on an obligation, therefore earned. Your righteousness, you, I'm talking to you right here, right now, listening to this, your righteousness, your right standing before God, that's what it means, is not based on what you do. It's based on what you believe and your faith. 2 Corinthians 5:21 sums it up beautifully. This is one of those verses I think you should memorize, and you should quote it, and you should reference it, and you should seek that everyone you come across understand it. He, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The NIV version, and I don't often use the NIV, but I do like the way it also says this. We have the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The NIV says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. How are you made righteous? Your faith in Christ. Just as for Abraham, he believed it was accounted to him as righteousness. You, your faith, your sin goes on Christ. His righteousness comes upon you. Excuse me. We see here then verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly, that it would not rain. It did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. You'll find that in Deuteronomy 11. But he prayed earnestly. He was a man with a nature like ours in the flesh. Yet now we, even so much more, have the Holy Spirit of God. That same Spirit which raised Christ from the dead now dwells in us. We are no longer citizens of this world, but citizens of heaven, because we have been bought. We have been given a new citizenship, and a price has been paid for us, that we are now owned, we are now hid in Christ. Now this is not basics for the Christian who has just come to Christ, but for us now into the meat, we must understand who we are in Christ. Citizens of heaven, ambassadors of Christ, His representatives here now on this earth to do what? Bring His message, to share, to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that people can be reconciled with God because of the sacrifice and the blood that was shed, the cleansing blood that washes us clean, whiter than snow, Scripture says. And Elijah, a man with a nature, same problems, same faults, same struggles. We see in the life of Elijah his struggles, his suffering. We see that, and yet he prayed earnestly. Now, I can't remember if it says it or not, but I read that and I think it wasn't a one-time prayer. And this is something that I have had to learn and am still learning as I struggle against my flesh desire to not want to pray, because it means taking time away from my things, my selfish desires of the flesh, to just dedicate time to the Lord. I mean, that's what prayer is. It's just you and Him. There's no glory in it. There's no, look how good I am. It's you in your closet alone with Christ. Prayer. Even this video that I'm doing right now, there is some modicum of pleasing of the flesh for me to do it. Hey, I got through another one. How good is that? Thank you, Lord. That was good. Pat myself on the back. Shouldn't be like that, but sometimes it still is. But prayer is not like that. Prayer is one-on-one, you and God, your husband, your wife, your kids. They don't need to know about it. It's literally, don't let the right hand see what the left is doing. It is pray and talk with your Lord. And here we see, pray earnestly. Verse 18, and he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. Final thought. We see a lot about fruit in Scripture. We see a lot about the fruit that we are to bear, the fruit of the Spirit. Yes? Self-control, I think, is the last one. I think that's really interesting, probably one of the hardest ones. But we see that in Scripture. You know, you can be praying for your leaders that they would produce fruit. Now, you might think that your leaders, perhaps the pastor, whoever it is up the front on that day, oh yes, they're teaching, they're good, they're walking faithfully. They too, a man, I hope, a man like manner of Elijah, like us, they struggle, they have problems. Yes, absolutely. You should be praying for them that they are producing fruit. And we see in people with in positions of leadership, all of them, not just even in the church, in all positions of leadership, even in the business and corporate world where I used to be, that when the pressure comes on, the fruit is squashed. And I remember an example being given to me once. If I was to take an orange and squeeze it with everything I can and just squeeze that orange, what comes out of it? Orange juice. Why? Well, because that's what's inside. Now, if I take another orange and I put it out on the driveway and run over it, it gets squashed. What comes out of it? orange juice. Why? Clearly obvious, because that's what's inside. If I put it in a vise and wind it up and slowly, slowly grill it, and eventually splits and drips through and comes down to the bench, what comes down on the bench? It's orange juice. Why? Because that's what's inside. And so between a husband and a wife, or one of the leaders in a church and the congregation, and we see friction and we see tension and we see maybe outward pressures and stresses, could be from a job or could be from illness or could be from anything, and there is suffering there. Listen carefully. We've got it from verse 13. If any of you is suffering, if you are afflicted in some way, let him pray. And here we see the connection that we can pray earnestly and see result. An earnest prayer, not before men, but you and God alone. We can pray for our leaders that they bear fruit. Because sometimes we as men particularly, and I know it can be, I'm sure, the same for women, but for we as men, the fruit that we bear is not always the fruit of the Spirit, yeah? That's just food for thought, no pun intended there. Praying for leaders, praying for your husband, for your wife, for your children, that they would bear fruit, that the fruit of the ground, as the heaven gave rain, verse 18, and the earth produced its fruit. I pray you'll produce fruit. I really do. Oh boy. That's what separates the worldly Christian playing hokey pokey with the godly man or the godly woman seeking to walk and abide in Christ. And I pray that will be you. In Jesus' name. God bless. We got just a couple more verses to go and then we wrap up. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.